Good morning and welcome to Focus on Health, the weekly radio program where we talk about all the great things happening at Band East Medical Center. I am your host, Lori Foster, and today we're going to be talking suicide prevention. And I have a team of experts joining me today for the program. But before we do, I have a few announcements I'd like to share. We're very excited and pleased to welcome new general surgeons, Dr. Tim Mayfield, Dr. Casey Joe, and Dr. Dapka Bakam. They are starting with us this week. All three surgeons are from the Des Moines area. We're excited to have them here at Van Deese Medical Center, and we're now taking appointments. You can call 515-832-7746 to schedule an appointment today. A few announcements for upcoming events. Mark your calendars. The next Webster City Community Blood Drive will be held Thursday, September 12th, and it will be in the clinic boardroom at Van Deese Medical Center. It is from 12:30 to 5:30, and appointments are encouraged. You can call LifeServe Blood Center at 800-287-4903. What's really easiest is to go online. Visit their website at lifeservebloodcenter.org and schedule your appointment. Also coming up, we have a uniform scrub and clothing sale Monday, September 16th. It will be from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. also in our clinic boardroom. And this is actually being brought to us by Emerson's at the Willow in Mason City. It is sponsored by our hospital auxiliary. And new to this sale is that this time all items are 20% off. So proceeds have actually been turned into that 20% discount for all shoppers as a thank you from the auxiliary. Again, that's September 16th, 8 a.m. to 4 p.m., and they have all sorts of stuff. It's not just uniforms and scrubs. They have awesome tennis shoes, regular clothing, so you'll want to come out and check it out. And then lastly, I do want to mention once again, our 9th annual golf outing is coming up Friday, September 27th. We are going to get things underway at 12 o'clock noon out at Briggs Woods. And new to the event this year, we have free music following the golf outing from 5 to 7. We hope you'll join us on the patio. We have Chris Carr, who will be playing on the patio, and this is open to the public. We have food and drink that will be available at that time. I do want to thank Black Hills Energy for being our entertainment sponsor, and we still have room for some sponsorships in the golf tournament. You can go to our website at vandeestmc.org, find all the information there. We're looking forward to a great day, and proceeds from the golf outing will support patient care needs at the hospital. And with that, we are going to get started. September is National Suicide Prevention Month, a time to remember the lives lost to suicide, acknowledge the millions more who have experienced suicidal thoughts, and the many individuals, families, and communities that have been impacted by suicide. It's also a time to raise awareness about suicide prevention and share messages of hope. Joining us to talk about this important topic are psychiatric mental health nurse practitioners Julie Trout and Krista Johnson. And from Senior Life Solutions, we have program therapist Tim Heller and program director Jean Stotts. Let's start with suicide and talking about what leads to suicide, and then maybe going into the impact that it does have on family, friends, entire communities.
So I think first we should probably define it, right? What is suicide? It is a death that is caused by self-directed injurious behavior with the intent to die as a result of that behavior. Oftentimes there are risk factors involved that go into that. A lot of them are patients who suffer with mental health conditions such as depression, substance use problems. They often feel a sense of hopelessness and despair because of life stressors and health issues that converge at the right time to create those feelings.
I would add too, as far as the impact on families, I think a lot of times, you know, working with people who have voiced or made attempts to commit suicide, oftentimes they don't always realize how that does have impact on other family members. A lot of times they voice a desire to end the pain or the suffering they're experiencing. But then when you talk to them about how it has impact on others, they aren't always aware of that. So it's a good conversation that I often entertain with them, because once they realize they do have impact beyond themselves, that's something that kind of wakes them up and helps them understand that they would cause pain as well. I think that's something that's easy to overlook at times, but it does have huge impact. I've seen it throughout my career, even when I worked in hospice. Ladies who had a son die 40 years ago from a suicide, oftentimes that was one of their biggest regrets, is somehow they could have maybe prevented that individual from doing that. We've had people in the group, I've had personal people in my life who have had attempts or committed suicide, and it is something that's very horrific for a lot of those survivors. So I hope people that hear that message understand that they're not alone. It does make a difference on other people around them, and, you know, seek help for that reason, if nothing else.
So true, Tim. It goes far beyond the individual as far as the impact that it has. And as you shared, can go on for years, can go on for a lifetime, affecting, you know, families, friends, and communities. People don't forget those things. So it's really important to be talking about it. A great way to lead in to an important part of the discussion, which is education. Julie, you were just talking about some of the risk factors. Let's go into kind of the warning signs and what people should be looking for.
So, I mean, obviously it's going to look different for every person, right? Some things that you could watch out for people is if they're talking about it or even threatening it. If you notice that they seem more depressed or more hopeless, that they don't have that hope or purpose anymore, that's somebody that needs to seek help probably right away. Some of those other things is if they don't feel like they have a reason to live. Like Tim said, oftentimes they get so focused in ending their own pain, be it physical or emotional pain that they're experiencing, that's driven them to that point, they forget all the people that are around them, and they don't see that. Being a burden to other people, they feel like if I'm gone, then it's better for everybody else. But again, they're not thinking about that effect of, you know, what that person has to experience when they follow through with it. Feeling trapped. Again, the pain. Pain is a huge one, I think, that leads people to suicide, mm-hmm. be it physical or emotional pain that they're experiencing from trauma, or, like I said, physical health conditions that are causing pain. That is a big one that will trigger people into that. Some other things, you know, if you start to notice that loved one saying goodbye, or, you know, they're giving things, prized possessions away. But sometimes, too, you don't even see it coming. I've had patients who they seemed happy and cheerful attending parties and then go home and either attempt to kill themselves or kill themselves. So sometimes you don't see the warning signs.
Right. It's a really good front.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You don't see it.
Exactly. So, I mean, again, it's going to look individual for each person. I think the best thing you can do is if you know that someone is struggling with mental health or physical pain or anything, is just reaching out and saying, you know, I'm here for you if you need help, and letting them know that there is help out there.
Mm-hmm. That is such an important part of it and a lot of what we're going to be talking about today. And I do think with this topic, it is hard. People don't know if they're faced with someone, maybe in a conversation with someone, and a comment is made. Maybe it's a death of someone else, and they say, "I wish that would have been me."
Mm-hmm.
There's like this moment where people freeze and think, "What do I say?
Right.
Should I say something?" What is it you would recommend, suggest? What are those words?
I don't know that there's necessarily the right words to say mm-hmm. at that time, but I think you need to think about what you say in that moment. You don't want to give somebody false sense of hope of like, oh, it'll get better, or like reassurance of like, it'll just get better, you're going to get over this. That's definitely not the right thing to say. But thinking about it and letting them know, I'm here, I care, and I want you to get better, and I'm going to stick with you through this until we get to that point. Setting long-term plans with them, right? Future orientation is a big thing, and knowing that someone is looking towards the future versus committing suicide. Mm-hmm. And so kind of just being engaged with them, staying close to them, thinking through what you say before you say it to them, and be genuine about what you're saying to them. Don't give them false promises, false hope, false reassurance. You want to be genuine in the response that you're giving to them.
And I think that's a big key to a lot of it, is listening, mm-hmm. hearing what they have to say and not discounting it or saying, oh, you'll get over it, because that's discounting. Mm-hmm. Hear what they have to say and then allow them to, you know, express what's going on with their lives. A lot of times they feel isolated. And, you know, if they don't feel like you're able to listen, that furthers that feeling of isolation. Well, they don't even care. Mm-hmm. And then that kind of continues that cycle of going forward with the idea. So taking the time, really taking genuine time to actively listen to them, I think is a big first key step. And then being aware of resources and things around that might be of support. Just recently, I've had a friend who had talked about suicide. I was able to convince her to get in to see a therapist. But I'm a little bit more savvy to understanding how these, to get people into a referral process and things like that. But, you know, even if it means a matter of calling 911 or convincing them to go to the ER, mm-hmm. to consider maybe they can help with the pain. Mm-hmm. Are all strategies that are helpful. But I think the first big key step in anything is listening.
Yeah. No, I think that's so very true. And sometimes you don't even have to respond to them and right. just listen to right. them, because sometimes people just want to be heard.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And acknowledge that, yes, I hear you, and that you're experiencing the pain that you're experiencing. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes you don't even need to respond. Just being there and being present and listening to them can be a good first step, obviously.
Right. Hearing that someone is going through this, mm-hmm. is experiencing this, and I understand, mm-hmm. and not needing to come with a response, just being there and offering that support, and then letting them know you are there for them. Mm-hmm. Let's get you help. And what does that look like? So, I mean, naturally, prevention and intervention is key. Tim, like you mentioned, maybe it's calling 911, maybe it's going to the ER. What are some other things that we can recommend at that time?
Obviously, if we're not to the point that we feel like we're unsafe, like we need to go, like Tim said, to the ER or calling 911, you know, calling Van Deest here, getting in to see a medication provider, getting into to some kind of mental health provider to take that first step. Or if you don't want to start at your mental health provider, starting at your primary care mm-hmm. provider, who might know and be able to get you on that referral process Tim's talking about, to get into therapy or whatever the best step is for you moving forward. But I think definitely seeing somebody on a professional standpoint is very important. Obviously, the person supporting this person, staying close to them, like I said, staying engaged. If that means you have to stay with them for a time period, maybe going to stay with them for a time period, or doing daily check-ins from a time. And then, you know, once you know they're on the path of healing or in the right hands, then that can kind of start to slowly come away.
Mm-hmm. I think that can just really helps so much. I mean, when we're talking about people that are in this place, they've just kind of tunneled themselves in, mm-hmm. and, you know, probably can go through their days and think, gosh, would anyone even notice if I'm not here? So again, to have that person, have that support, like you say, if it means even staying physically with them so that they feel and know and see that support is there, and they're not alone in this journey, and there is help available. And that's what's really key to this topic. We want to make sure that people know what resources are out there. One program that we have that is geared specifically for our older adults is Senior Life Solutions. And I want to make sure that we're talking about the program and how we can offer that help to that population too. What can you tell us, Jean?
Thank you, Lori. Yeah, Senior Life Solutions would be the next step for an older adult that voices that they need help, or if you see a senior adult, usually over the age of 65. We offer an intensive outpatient group therapy for senior adults designed for those experiencing age-related depression or anxiety. When we talk about age-related, we're talking about chronic health problems like diabetes, cancer, or arthritis. Anxiety presents itself like excessive worry or fear about health or safety. And depression in the older adults a lot of times is when you hear them saying, I'm feeling tired, trouble sleeping, they're grumpy, difficulty concentrating. We support individuals through difficult life transitions as you get older. And recent health diagnoses or loss of a loved one are other big factors. So what does it look like? We have confidential comprehensive assessment, group and individual therapy with a licensed mental health therapist. We do family therapy if needed, medication, education and management, aftercare planning, and ongoing support. And everything is personalized care despite as it being a group setting. And referrals can be self-referrals or any external referrals, and you can reach us by just calling 515-832-7813. And like Lori said, we are a department at Van Deese Medical Center, so we're right here in the hospital.
Very good. Thank you, Jean. You know, it's interesting. I think there are misconceptions about kind of the age group that experiences suicide the most. And I think a lot of people do think of the older generation. And we certainly hear about adolescents and younger adults too, but surprisingly, it's a different group.
While the fact remains the highest suicide rate in the United States is in men and women between the ages of 45 and 64, it's important to note that suicide risk increases with age. Another discouraging misconception is that medications and psychotherapy don't work, or that suicide occurs without warning. All of those misconceptions and myths are untrue. There is hope and help. And it starts by all of us talking about suicide, identifying warning signs, and understanding who may be at the greatest risk of suicide.
And I think another misconception sometimes is, oh, this is a big city problem, or, you know, it only happens in, you know, the bigger states. And, you know, we were kind of talking before the radio show started, and it was interesting to find out, you know, we're 21st as far as a state, and we're a rural state, and yet we have, you know, a relatively high number of suicides. And if you look around and you see what goes on in the news, or you hear of things that have happened in your area, most of us have heard of a suicide, or somebody had made an attempt, and it's a lot more prevalent than we really realize. I think one of the things is shocking for a lot of people when I share with groups in our group is the fact that it's actually surpassed car accidents. A lot of people think car accidents are one of those things that lead causes of death, but suicide is way up there, and it's an epidemic. It's not getting any better. I think we need to be more serious about addressing it. We can't just assume it's somebody else's problem, and we can't just assume people are going to take care of it. We need to step up as people that we are and care about other people and make a difference in people's lives.
I agree with you, Tim. I think we need to be vigilant. There are so many stressors in life today, and they're not going away. They're not lessening. We're going to continue to see that. And so it is about finding those coping skills, finding the resources, the tools necessary to help each other, help everybody out, get through. I want to make sure that we take time to talk about kind of the outreach, the resources that are available, and how we can get people in touch with help.
If you or someone you care about is experiencing a mental health issue, suffering from emotional pain or addiction, encourage them to seek help of a trusted professional. We have a great team of mental health professionals available at Vindy's. Other educational resources can be found at the CDC website. Through the SAVE website, which stands for Suicide Awareness Voices of Education, at www.save.org. The Suicide Crisis Lifeline by calling the number 988 or by accessing the Crisis Text Lifeline, which is available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, by texting HELLO to 741-741.
Your Life Iowa is a crisis service that is available 24/7. What's nice about this service is you can also, if you don't feel like you can actually talk to somebody, there's a live chat and you can text 855-895-8398 to be hooked up with somebody 24/7, or call the number 855-581-8111. It's made simpler now by just dialing 988. It's a suicide and crisis lifeline that's available 24/7. This is also part of, and I know that we have it here in Webster County and Hamilton County, is the mobile crisis, that they will come to you and do an assessment and ongoing support. And I think a lot of times if you're in a crisis situation and you don't know who to call, you forgot these numbers, most people always remember 911. And what does that look like when you call 911? Well, somebody's going to come to you and you will be assessed by a mental health professional and be given resources.
And then also too, I mean, you can always reach out to Vandy's clinic and get set up with myself from a nurse practitioner standpoint for medication management, or Krista, who does telehealth option. That's always a good place to start. You don't need a referral to get in contact with us. You just have to call the clinic and say, hey, I'm needing help for mental health management. I need to see either Julie or Krista, and you can get set up on an appointment with us.
Excellent. And I know our program today has been focused on suicide prevention, but if we look at even just mental health, and maybe someone is experiencing depression, and at what point do we say it's time to get help before it gets to maybe having suicidal thoughts?
Honestly, I would say from the get-go. I mean, if you're struggling with depression or if you're struggling with anything mental health and you're questioning, do I need help? More than likely, it's okay to reach out and get some help. And you can come see myself, who is a mental health professional, and I can help you with the process of what does that look like moving forward. Do you need med management? Do you need therapy? What can we do to kind of guide you on that journey for your mental health? But I think at any point that you're questioning or experiencing mental health, just reach out and get the help. It's there.
Absolutely. And that is the one message we want to get across to everyone. There is help in so many different facets, and people just need to know where to find it. So,
well, and I think a lot of times we focus on the physical aspects of things, you know, boy, I'm short of breath and I have pain here, and you know, I'm starting to have chest pains. Well, we're quick to set up a doctor appointment for those kind of things. But, you know, mental health is the same. You know, if we're starting to have those beliefs, those ideas of wanting to end it all, or we're just depressed and we're just isolating, and friends that you knew are starting to shut off more and more people. Those are red flags, and they're just as serious as any of the physical things that we encounter. So I think anytime that if you have a question about it, that's probably the time to call. I think that's just good advice for anyone.
I would agree. Anything else anyone wants to share?
Just from a personal point, I think we look at these statistics and we talk about suicide, and we don't always understand. But, you know, from my personal life, I had a good friend commit suicide when I was 19 in the Army. And I remember him being somebody that was really quiet, really passive. And the day before he did this, he was out talking and looked like he was the best I'd seen him. And then a few hours later, he ended up taking a gun that was provided by the Army and shot himself. I've had a daughter who's been hospitalized for suicidal thoughts. I've encountered people along the way in my career, the patients who were terminally ill and just wanted to end the pain. It's something that's a lot more widespread, and it has huge impact on us. And I would encourage people to do something about it now and not wait. Because when you talk to those people who've had people that commit suicide, the number one thing they wish a lot of times is, I wish I would have been able to talk to them one more time, or I could have helped them. And I think that's something that we can't overlook.
So very true. Again, I want to make sure that people realize the resources that are available. Through Van Deest Medical Center, we have psychiatric mental health nurse practitioners, Julie Trout and Krista Johnson, available. And they're a phone call away. Appointments can be made by calling 515-832-7800. In-person and virtual appointments are available. So really meeting patients where they're at. Also, we're very fortunate to have Senior Life Solutions here at Van Deest Medical Center to ask questions about the program, to maybe get a referral, get someone involved. You can call Jean at 515-832-7813. And again, I want to share that Suicide and Crisis Lifeline, 988. So very similar to 911, 988. It is a lifeline that is available 24/7. It is free, confidential, and provides support for people in distress, prevention, and crisis resources. Maybe it's for you, maybe it's for one of your loved ones. So remember that. And I think just like what you've heard from everybody here today, be aware, you know, ask the questions, listen. And we need to care about each other and stay connected. If you know someone is becoming isolated, reach out to them. Be a friend, be support for them and for each other. We definitely all need it. So I want to thank all of you for being a part of the program today. When we get to the month of September, it's such an important topic to be talking about. So I love that we are starting the month off with it. And I do thank you for participating.
Thank you for having us.
Right. That will do it for today's edition of Focus on Health, brought to you by Van Deest Medical Center, where our focus is you.